listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll meet the creator of a literary journal that showcases and supports the work of writers in the Chippewa Valley. First, it's time for our weekly roundup of state news. There were new revelations this week about Russian Twitter trolls reacting to events here in Wisconsin. Governor Walker proposed 120 locations in Wisconsin as potential economic opportunity zones, and students at UW-Stevens Point are protesting cuts to the school's humanities programs. Robert Menser is a statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin. He's based in Wausau. Rob, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Well, Rob, earlier this week, we talked to Jason Stein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He had gone through a lot of Twitter accounts that had been removed from Twitter, found that Russian troll accounts had paid a lot of attention to events in Milwaukee, especially after the Sherman Park riots. Now we're finding out that that wasn't all they did in Wisconsin. What are we learning?
Right. It's really fascinating. So this comes out of, Twitter did its investigation of what it called malicious activity from Russian accounts and deleted a bunch of these accounts. And in February, NBC News published a giant database of these 200,000 tweets from these accounts. So Jason Stein has been reporting on that. And then this week out of the Wisconsin State Journal followed up with its own reports on Twitter activity among these accounts, tweeting about the case of Tony Robinson, the black teenager who was shot and killed by a police officer in Madison in 2015, and also about the incident in October when somebody wore an Obama mask and noose around his neck to the Badgers game. The Russian trolls really liked that one as well.
And as we're seeing in a lot of events around the country, it wasn't just necessarily accounts tweeting on one side. It seems like some of the accounts could have gone on either side of any controversial issue.
Yeah, I mean it's really so. First of all, you start to notice a pattern, right? So Sherman Park, Tony Robinson, and this Obama noose mask. I mean, like what they were up to is to play on racial divisions or racial anxiety or just racism. And it is notable that some of the accounts would write or tweet like headlines that the Obama mask was terrible, or they would question why wasn't a police officer charged in this death. So the point really was to take these stories and make people's feelings about them more pronounced to just sort of fan the flames on these stories, more so than in that case than to explicitly push a particular viewpoint.
And I understand that newspapers, not just around the state, but around the country, are starting to dig into this trove of Twitter material to see how Russian trolls weighed in on what was happening in their communities.
Yeah, and it's so weird. I mean, so this is distinct. There's like a whole stew of ways that social media was manipulated during the 2016 election and before and since, to be honest. But this seems to refer to not bots and not sort of campaign activities, but the people who are actual human beings who are paid by, ultimately by the Russian government, and this has been documented, to go to an office and just mess with Americans on social media. And it's just, I find it really, it's unsettling in a way, because even, I was on social media in Wisconsin at that time, you start to think back and question, like, did I ever get in a weird interaction on Twitter with one of these people, or was I in some way influenced by these accounts? And it's just, I want to say no, but it just makes you question that a little bit.
Moving on to another story, Rob. Governor Walker has nominated 120 locations in Wisconsin as potential economic opportunity zones, sending this to the federal government now. Can you tell us what this is all about?
Yeah, it's a bit of a euphemism, Rob. Maybe it's not a euphemism. There are real opportunities, but it really means there are places where the economy is struggling or is not what it could be. So the U.S. Department of Treasury has this program that's supposed to help these areas basically, it's like you can get a tax grant to anyone who wants to make investments in a place that has this designation. And so the hope is it's sort of a public-private program. It dates back to, I think it was the Clinton administration. It dates back a long time. And the idea is to encourage people to invest in places that might be at a little bit of a disadvantage otherwise.
And this is by census tract, which I'm not used to thinking of zones by their census tract, but here we are. A lot of these are in Madison and Milwaukee, but what are some of the other areas that saw, segments of these areas nominated?
Right. They really are all over the state. And right, as you say, census tract, that's almost, you can think of it almost more like it is more on the level of a neighborhood. So it's not, it could just be like a place where there is a lot of blighted areas or there aren't as many, there might be a little bit higher poverty rates within some of the metropolitan areas that get this designation. There are places on, including on Native American reservations, including throughout the Fox Valley and central Wisconsin, that have been submitted that are eligible for this program.
Talking to Rob Mentzer from USA Today Network Wisconsin, rounding up some Wisconsin news from the last week. On Wednesday, Rob, students at UW-Stevens Point held a demonstration to protest the school's decision to cut a bunch of its majors, especially in social sciences and humanities. Remind us of what is involved in those cuts.
Right. So this is a pretty dramatic proposal that would eliminate 13 majors at the school. So it's history, it's English, down to art, but not graphic design, and some of the other, as you say, humanities areas. Philosophy is another. And so the idea by the proposal is to eliminate these as majors. The university would still offer classes in these subject areas, but they would not be majors at University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. And in their place to bring in a slate of majors that have more, that are more along the lines of chemical engineering and other more technical or scientific fields in general.
And I understand protesters delivered a letter to the chancellor, Bernie Patterson, at UW-Stevens Point. What did he have to say about the reaction to these cuts?
So Patterson attended a large section of these protests. He listened to speakers speaking on the campus, and he responded with encouragement to the students who were making their voices heard. His view the university is responding to a reality of declining enrollments and trying to adapt to make the university more attractive to potential students. And also he leans heavily on the claim, the truth, that that 80% of course offerings would continue. So he makes a strong distinction between canceling the majors and sort of canceling like the English program.
So a student could not major in philosophy or English, but they would still be taking classes if they wanted to in those departments.
Right. It would be part of the program. But, the students' arguments is like it sends a signal about what the university is valuing, right? And are you going to want to, if you're somebody who is inclined to go into the humanities and you hear that the university doesn't even offer an English major or a history major or a philosophy major, maybe it's, you might get the message that it's not really for you.
And then in a lighter story this week, a profile of a 13-year-old from Fond du Lac who's been getting attention for being a huge fan of fans. Tell us about Reese the Fanboy and his collection.
I love this story so much. Reese Umbright, he's from North Fond du Lac. He's 13. He is a world expert on the subject of fans. So he is a collector, and he knows models, brands, all kinds of different fans, all from before the year 2000, which for whatever reason is, he says the fans got worse after that.
they don't make them like they used to, I guess.
They just don't. No, it's a great story. The visuals with the story are great. He has this, you know, old box fans or little oscillating desk fans just throughout the house. The family's been featured on a cable TV show called My Kids' Obsession. But really, it just seems like he just has a love for this, for these objects.
We got to get this kid together with a guest we had on earlier this week, a dairy farmer who has a collection of farm paraphernalia, including pre-electricity days, a kerosene-powered fan.
Oh my gosh, that would be the piece de resistance for Reese's collection.
The ultimate crossover event. Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thanks.
That's Robert Menzer, statewide living and storytelling editor for the USA Today Network Wisconsin, with us for our weekly roundup of state news.